Drunk on Comics, episode 64. Where if I got paid in beers for the many hours that I've worked the last couple days, I'd own a microbrewery.
Yeah, we'd be really drunk.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our weekly podcast where we talk about comic books and conventions and collecting books and other stuff.
Comics.
Yeah, other nerdy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Little goobers of geekdom. So, anyway, my name is Derek, and with me, as always, is Tony.
Hello.
And it's just us today.
Yeah, no one else wanted to take the drive.
Yeah, well, you know, it probably would have helped if we would have told them where we were at. But
yeah.
So, yeah, so normally our threesome or foursome is just down to the super duo.
Well, we have all been kind of missing here and there the last couple weeks.
I know, I missed my first one ever.
I missed, I think, 2 weeks ago? My second one ever.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah, that was odd. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to talk about some comics, and we're going to get it kicked off the shelf, which is brought to you by GrandCon, which is, you can find them at grand-con.com, and it's happening September 20th through the 22nd, so we're a month away.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it's going to be at the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. We will be there. It's going to be gaming and comics both at this show, so if you like either or both, come check it out.
I wish they had a place called Showcase Showdown or...
Yeah.
At least you know where this one's going to be at.
Yeah, well, you'll know where this one... where it's at the Prince Convention Center. There's going to be a bunch of little red Corvettes there.
Oh, yeah. And maybe some artists.
Everybody's going to wear a raspberry beret. But... all right, guys, here's your warning, though. We're going to talk about things that have happened in this week's books. So if you don't like spoilers and you're starting to talk about your book, hit pause, go read it, and then come back. Otherwise, if you like spoilers, you're in the right place.
All right. Well, Derek, why don't you start?
All righty. This week, I've got Creepy, number 13.
Yes, you're creepy, but what book do you got?
Well, I am Creepy. No, Creepy number 13 from Dark Horse Comics. And this is... a collection of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different stories.
Oh, so it's an 8-in-1 issue.
Yeah. 8-in... I can't do math. So I'm going to quick run through this list of writers. Josh Simmons, Dan Braun, Peter Baggy, John Habermas, I apologize, Cullen Bunn, Archie Goodwin, artists Dean Haspiel, Peter Baggy, D.W. Friendahl, Lucas Kettner, Tyler Crook, and Reed Crandall. So, there's a lot of people in here, obviously, when you have that many stories.
You going to do the artists, too?
Those were the artists.
Did one person write all the...
No, the first list was writers.
Oh.
Would you like me to reread them?
Yes, I wasn't really paying attention to all your... No, you don't have to do that for me.
Josh, Dan, Peter, John, Cullen, and Archie were the writers. Dean, Peter, D.W., Lucas, Tyler, and Reed were the artists.
Gotcha.
And Jason Sean Alexander did the cover. But anyway, this is one of those classic, you know, takes on like the 1950s horror books that were out there where there are all these short little stories and different people writing them. And it's all in black and white. Some of it does have gray wash to it, but a lot of them are black and white. I love these books, you know.
Is this following in the It Came that Kevin read the other... Is this, like, the same miniseries of it?
No, it's... Okay. No. That was Titan, I believe, that did It Came. This is Dark Horse. But, you know, it's very much like, for those of you that never read those books back in the day, very much like Creepshow, if you ever saw the movie, you know, where it's all those different little stories in there. And there are some really screwed up things in this one. The first story in particular I enjoyed. It's called The Scales, and it's this little teenage girl, and you find out that, you know, she starts getting these scales growing on her, and you find out that actually her family has been inbreeding for generations to keep themselves...
With mermen?
Well, to keep themselves pure, but the problem is about every third generation, somebody in the family... develops these scales and they turn into this giant mutant monster. And so then she gets locked away with this brother of hers that she didn't know was her brother. And so they're going to be sister, brother, husband, wife, probably. It's disgusting.
Creepy.
It is creepy. but, you know, there are a lot of other... I mean, some of them are more lighthearted and funny. Some of them are quite a bit darker. There's actually one of them in here that is taken from Bram Stoker's short story, The Squaw, and reworked as that. And it's funny because when I read it, it was very Edgar Allan Poe to me. But... You know,
well, how long were each story? Just a couple pages, obviously.
Yeah,
one shot page.
Well, there are a couple of them that are one, you know, just one page. But then there are some that are, you know, maybe 8-10 pages. I mean, the thing's 46 pages long. The whole book
sweet.
Is. Yeah, and it, well, I mean, it, you know, it's a $5 book, but you know, you're getting quite a bit more out of it. There were two stories in particular that I really enjoyed. The last one in here, which was by Colin Bunn and Tyler Crook, called Deer Crossing, was really interesting, and it's one of those that just teases you and leaves you hanging. And I'm not going to ruin that one, but I will say creepy antler people. That's all I'm going to say on that one. It just kind of messed with me. But I think my favorite story was probably one of the longest ones in here, and it was called The Last Stop. And this was written by Dan Braun, art by Lucas Kettner. Loved the artwork in here. You know, it's just very, very detailed in the lines that you know, Kettner used in here. And basically it's this subway to hell, more or less. Just terrifying, cool, loved it. It reminded me, you know, of one of those great TV episodes that you would see, like on a Twilight Zone or, you know, any of those kind of just short, segmented stories. But Creepy is a great book. I mean, I've been picking up the majority of these. I missed a few of them at the beginning, and I did miss one other in the middle there. But I love this book when it comes out.
Does it have overall, like, the Crypt Keeper, like,
yes,
you know, a beginning person that kind of says, here are the stories?
Yep. Yeah, it's this little guy here at the beginning, and I don't know if it's just Uncle Creepy, but that's their letters column, is Dear Uncle Creepy. But... yeah, he is the same guy, and he introduces each story. And, you know, like I said, I mean, they're a lot of fun if you're looking for something a little bit different, and especially if you want to get introduced to a lot of different artists, art styles, writers, and what they do. Really, really good book, well worth picking up. You know, and it's fun. It's one of these that you can jump in any time, because obviously there's no continuity from one issue to the next, so... There you go. That's my top pick for this week.
All right. Well, interesting.
What'd you read?
I read... Well, first off, I didn't have a lot of books on my pull list this week. Actually, only a few. It was my brother's week, and since he decided not to come visit us...
Let's clarify that. It was your brother's week to buy comics.
Yes.
Yeah, not just your brother's week, but your brother's week to buy comics, because you guys... You guys conserve your money.
Yep.
In that way.
To share.
Well, here's a question, though. Well, before we get into that, when you guys share these books, who gets to keep them?
If it was going to be reselling or anything, it'd be the person that bought them. So we have our own storylines that we obviously buy, but we aren't the people that are really care to sell them anyways. We don't put all of them in plastic sleeves like you do. It's more or less to enjoy the books and to share them.
As we sit here and look at my... growing wall of long boxes.
So, in essence, it's that person who buys that title.
Okay.
Obviously, my brother's, you know, Avengers, and I buy the X-Men and Fantastic Four and all those other small little books. I was almost going to say Nuggets, but...
Oh, you did. You didn't say Nuggets.
That doesn't count. Anyways, a book that I did read, though, Grim Fairy Tales Presents No Tomorrow. This book, written by Raven Gregory, pencils by J.G. Miranda, and colors by Lizil Buenaventura.
Now, this book doesn't come out till next week, right? Till the 28th?
Yeah.
28th. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that...
I haven't read... Okay, I used to read some Grimm fairy tales. You can't not at least flip through one when you see all the covers have hot babes. And you're kind of like, you're attracted to that. You're like, oh, that chick looks hot for a comic book character. So, of course, you're going to, you know, open up the cover and see what's inside. And also, the stories are always great because they are, you know, fairy tales that you know, but thrown in with some sex and magic and different way told. So it's been a while because, fuck, I can't keep up with all the many different titles they have going on. I know you're reading, what, Robin?
I've been reading Robin Hood, and I've been picking up a few of the other titles here and there, Robin Hood being my favorite. So, you know, I got sucked into that. You know, great character, great writing. But Xenoscope is, man, they got some good titles out there.
Mm-hmm.
They really do.
It's just they have so many of them, it's hard to narrow down which one. This one, I don't know what really it's based off of as far as saying like a fairy tale. However, No Tomorrow is in essence following death. A hot death, because she's fucking in a Grimm fairy tales book, so.
She might as well be hot.
Yeah, she's gotta be hot. And the one thing with this book when I was reading it is I kept wondering, okay, who's gonna die next? Because, you know, if you have a title character or person in the book such as Death Personified, people are going to be dying. So right away, when you see this mom and this kid being afraid of flying, and it's shaking, you're like, oh shit, man, the plane's going to go down. Nope, that's not how they kill people. Fucking earthquake.
That shocked me. And when I first started reading it, I was like, what's going on with the plane? What's going on? Why is it shaking? And then, like, all of a sudden you see that airport coming down. We probably shouldn't spoil too much past that.
Try not to give too much away. But just watching, I don't know, I have to say when death's a character, I like it when it is a beautiful vixen, such as Neil Gaiman did with his death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really hot chick who seems to care but not care because she knows who she is. And with this, many people die. Like you said, we don't want to spoil it for too many people because, fuck, it's not even out yet. We get, you know, some privileges knowing certain people, and we did have the honor of getting this to read.
Well, and certain publishers that, you know, like Xenoscope, for instance, love the fact that they send us these preview copies because, you know, we can then help spread the word for them. But, you know, boy, that... I tell you what, they've gotten a lot more of my money because of sending these, because there are some times when I'll go out there and go, boy, I don't know if I want to buy a new book today, I got a big stack, but you know, when I get these, and maybe I'll only read the first couple pages and go, oh, this is going to be awesome, and then, yeah, I'll buy it.
Yeah, and so, like I said, with this, you're kind of watching this, you know, unfold, and wondering who's going to die next, what's going to happen, and ultimately... I'm more hooked than anything of wanting to know why is she there? You know, what is she doing? And obviously there are people dying around her, so you know that's a given. But you don't know much more than that. So ultimately, a very good book. Art, as always, on all these titles is amazing. And like the writing on almost everything that they do and put out is also well done.
Raven's been one of my favorite writers for years back, you know, since, shoot, the first time I read anything of his was The Gift, when I think it was his own self-published, which ended up getting picked up by Image later on. He's been a fantastic writer, and I've loved watching him go from story to story and story. He's incredibly versatile. So, yeah, I know you're right there with me. I'd recommend picking this up come Wednesday.
Yep.
So, cool. I have one more that I don't really want to review, but I need some help from you, Tony.
Okay.
And maybe I'm going to need help from listeners.
So call in right now, listeners.
Yeah. All right. X-Men number 4, written by Brian Wood. David Lopez did pencils. Cam Smith and Norman Lee did inks. And Chris Peter did colors. Joe Caramagna, our buddy, did letters, and cover was Terry and Rachel Dodson.
Yes, it was such an awesome issue, so I will help you out with all the things since I did not read it.
I know, but that's okay. You don't need to, like, it's not as much about the story, and I'll be honest, it may actually tell me the information right up here on the front page and I'm not reading it.
That's a fucking long-ass, like, recap right there.
It's not bad, but, so, the X-Men, the female...
The X-Women?
Yeah, the X-Men female group of Rachel Summers, Storm, Rogue, and Psylocke are off saving this jet plane that had an engine go out, and apparently Sully isn't piloting it, so, you know, these pilots don't know how to land a plane or whatever when it's going down. But they've come up with this big plan on how to save it. Here's my question. Did Rogue lose her super strength and ability to fly?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm like, why doesn't Rogue just go grab the plane and bring it down?
I can't remember when and what issue it was, but it started happening. I want to say it was when she got the Hedicomb, when she absorbed the Hedicomb from this fucking years ago, which was... God, I know that partly crossed over with Cable and Deadpool, so it was years ago. And when absorbing that entity, like, fractured her mind, and that's about as much as I know about that. But from there, pretty much she lost those powers that she retained.
Okay.
And now she absorbs other powers a lot longer. I think she almost, like, can absorb them indefinitely until she absorbs a new power.
Okay, so she's kind of like Hope now?
I guess so.
Alright, so here's the second question. Why couldn't Storm just go out there and give him a nice updraft and help the plane land that way?
She was there?
Yeah, Storm was there. She never got out of the freaking out of the Blackbird.
She was being Storm?
Okay. Next question. Betsy Braddock, a.k.a. Psylocke, one of my favorite characters. Thought I knew pretty much everything there was to know about her. Apparently not. She
can fly?
No, but she can use her, like, you know how she has her psychic knives?
Yeah.
She now has the ability to make psychic crossbows.
What? Psychic? And shoot psychic arrows?
With a psychic tether on it that hooked to this other plane's wing.
See?
And I'm like, wait, what? So, they got this tether, and not only can they use it like a tow rope, but then, you know, Rogue, who took some of her powers, was able to crawl on it like it's real rope. I'm like, wait, what?
So she's making imagination possible. She believes hard enough it will become true.
Is this an episode of Reading Rainbow? Because I'm really confused where these powers came from. So
that one in itself, like, okay, the first, at least I knew Rogue lost her flying powers. Storm, she's being Storm. That's given a whole new power set that she's never used in any other comic, and where the fuck did that come from?
The only type of explanation that they give in here is that Psylocke says, I've been spending a lot of time in the Danger Room medieval warfare sim. There's a virtual quartermaster, sort of a janissary type, hot to death. He's been teaching me a few things. And that's when she uses a psychic crossbow.
So she can make, like, psychic wings and use, like, I don't know, that just sounds broken.
I'm confused. I don't want Psylocke to be this way. but, anyway, so, like...
Maybe it's that psychic bear she got in X-Force helping her out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The demon bear?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing I will say, though, this was the first issue, I believe, that Lopez did art on. Really, really liked it. I would... If I had a... And it's not even a complaint, so I shouldn't say that. The sections with Wolverine and Jubilee in here, the color palette on it, I thought was maybe just a little too happy. And I would have liked to make it a little bit darker so that... I know that it was a very nice, heartwarming story, and the settings they were in, it was appropriate for it. I just would have liked it a little shadier to make it a little bit more realistic looking, I guess. But the rest of it, the art overall I really did love, and where, you know, the colors, especially on those other scenes, especially inside the Blackbird, fucking good.
How are you liking Jubilee?
Jubilee's still Jubilee. I like her better than Storm, though.
Do you like her as a vampire more than Firework Girl?
Here's the thing. I haven't seen her do anything with her vampire power or her firework power.
I don't think she became a mutant again.
Oh, okay.
Because she became a vampire to make her useful, I guess, when she lost her powers.
Oh.
So, that's why she's still a vampire, which, I have to say, out of characters, you know, evolving and stuff, I like that they've stuck with that. They haven't found, like, a cure and then made, when Hope brought mutants back, her get her old firework power. I think her being a vampire, a daywalker, is kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I just really haven't seen her do anything with it. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for our off the shelf.
All right. I'm glad to have answered all your questions.
Yeah.
Me, the foreknowledge of the book that I haven't read.
I like I said, I'm confused. I don't know. I hate not knowing some of this stuff because there is a good chunk of X-Men, you know, from like late 90s through the mid to later 2000s, like, you know, the aughts that I didn't read. And so I'm going to have to go back and start reading a lot of that stuff. But, yeah. So, that's Off the Shelf. Once again, brought to you guys by Grand Con. So, check them out and come see us here in a month.
All right. You got any news?
There's a lot of news.
I wouldn't know. I've been working my ass off.
The biggest news was on Tuesday is when I heard about it. Simon Pegg. Like last week, we talked about how Simon Pegg was shown pointing to Ant-Man, and all the speculation came up about is he Ant-Man? Is he not Ant-Man? Well, they came out and said no, he's not Ant-Man. But I think we know who the new Batman is because he's pointing to the Batman picture.
Holy shit! I'm looking at that picture now. That has got to be a tell. They already said he's not Ant-Man, so you know he went to the rivals and is like, fuck yeah, I'll take the cowl.
I, you know what? And here's the thing. I think that's probably one of the best casting choices for Batman that there could be.
Fuck yeah, man.
I mean, seriously, who else would they pick? Like, I don't know, Ben Affleck?
They would never do that.
I can't even do that with a straight face. Yeah, so Ben Affleck is the new Batman.
Shut your face.
Yeah.
I have not read that anywhere.
Except on our Facebook page and and on our Twitter page and everybody else's Facebook and Twitter page. And shit, dude, Rush Limbaugh talked about it.
Really?
Yeah.
So I bet you're a happy man. Can't wait to see the new Superman Batman.
You know, I'm going to bite my tongue and I'm not going to dog on the casting choice. At least, you know, if somebody wants to know my personal opinion, I will say my personal opinion later. Here's my major concern, and it has nothing to do with what happened in Daredevil or anything in the past. I think there's two major issues here. And the one argument I always hear is, everybody said Heath Ledger was going to be terrible Joker, and now everybody thinks he was the best Joker.
Hey, look how everyone talks like that.
And they do, on the internet. Well, I have it read to me, and I put the voice in, so it comes out like that. But, you know, everybody wants to compare this to Heath Ledger. And, you know, obviously we don't know what Affleck's going to do with the character. But my argument against that comparison is that Ben Affleck typically plays Ben Affleck in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fine. Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise, makes millions upon millions of dollars. Sam Jackson didn't play Nick Fury. Sam Jackson played Sam Jackson with an eye patch.
Yeah.
You know, that's my first concern. Second concern is you have Henry Cavill. I hope I'm saying his name right. Because nobody really knows who he is. They didn't know who he was really before Man of Steel. Fantastic Superman.
Yeah, I think they definitely should have gone the no-name route. Someone lesser known.
Because you've got top of the A-list, you know, with a virtual no-name. And I think it's going to be hard to see Bruce Wayne and or Batman and not see Ben Affleck. Where with Henry Cavill, you don't see Henry Cavill because you know virtually nothing about him. You see Superman and you see Clark Kent. And I think that's why Man of Steel did so well, was because of their beautiful casting in that role.
Well, do you think that they did this because the other side has RDJ? So they need a big name to...
I don't think you need a big name.
I just think they need to fucking make some stories, and Warner Brothers needs to get off their ass and make some more movies.
The big name is Batman. And actually, that's that really, I mean, when you think about it, Iron Man was not that big of a name of a character as far as the general public. But everybody knows who the fuck Batman is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who the fuck Superman is. Not everybody knew who Iron Man was.
On a plus side, at least we'll get a Robin.
Yep.
Matt Damon.
Oh, God, we were joking about, like, how if you just took everybody from Good Will Hunting and cast them in that, so Robin Williams could be Alfred. And Minnie Driver, they wanted her as Catwoman, but they couldn't find a mask big enough to fit on her head. So we were talking about how she could be Scarecrow because she could fit her head probably in a burlap bag. But, yeah.
Well, does that mean Jennifer Garner is going to be Catwoman?
No, I think she's going to be Poison Ivy. And
oh, I could actually... I could see that.
J-Lo is going to be Catwoman.
Oh, God. Some little Jiggly or whatever it was called.
Jiggly?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't think it was the smartest move that Warner Brothers could have done.
Maybe they could change it.
Oh, they won't.
I don't know.
Although, the reason that Rush Limbaugh was talking about it is that there's a petition on MoveOn.org to get the president to, like, tell the movie company to pull Ben Affleck from that role.
I don't know, that's a little too much, but...
Yeah, it's stupid.
But... Hey, but if Ben Affleck played Daredevil and Batman, does that mean he's blind as a bat?
Wah, wah, wah. You've been working on that one all week.
In the last couple minutes when I just heard this news.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's some news that I actually am very excited about. And I wish Kevin was here for this one. Powerpuff Girls is coming back to comic books.
Well, I knew that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, this is old news. We talked about that and Samurai Jack.
Oh, we did, yeah. Sorry, I drink a lot. Yeah. But it's next month.
At least we know that it's coming out soon, and it is a 6-issue miniseries.
Yep, IDW is doing it, and I can't wait. God, I loved that cartoon.
That was good.
I mean, I was...
All those cartoons from that, and fuck, we were older teenagers. You were maybe starting your 40s then.
I was in college or just out of college. Yeah. So, yeah, it was that was a great show. I actually have, like, the first probably 5 issues of the original series. Okay. Comics that they did. That I think it was DC that brought those out. And I wasn't even buying comics, I don't think, at that exact time. But I saw those come out, and I was like, oh, went and bought them, and yeah.
Hey, did you hear about the good news, eh? So us neighbors up in the north.
Oh, about the JL, eh?
Yeah, eh.
Oh, eh. Yeah, the Justice League, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Justice League of America is going to be a maple syrup, like, producer now. And they're switching to Justice League Canada.
See, I don't understand what this is about.
I don't know either. But it's, you know, the... Is it Jeff Lemire that's doing this? Is writing this? I believe it is.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess they're actually going to be announcing it this weekend at Fan Expo in Toronto. So hopefully our good buddy Jay over at An Elegant Weapon maybe got some inside scoop that he can fill all of us in on later. But yeah, I don't know. The one funny thing is that, you know, I saw an article and it was on Comic Book Resources. And I don't know if this is a spoof cover where they took the Justice League America and then they had Canada like stamped over it and the flag when they had 52 or 53 covers. However, there was clearly some foreshadowing of this early on.
Oh, really?
Because when that Justice League of America pack that had every single cover in it, that was all packaged together, saw it at my comic book store on the plastic, printed in Canada.
Ooh.
So I think that was the Easter egg that was not in the comic but on the packaging.
It's gonna have Captain Moose Knuckles as one of the people.
Wow. Yeah. Her and her and Logjammer. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. I might pick it up, but they're going to introduce a new character.
Captain Moose.
Wow, that is fantastic.
All right, something that we've talked about before of famous names, voice actors. It just shit that, you know, kind of pisses me off that you need to get a famous name. Well, as we even said, too, with some of these movies, man, you could cast people that haven't been in movies before because the characters are sometimes new. So coming with Guardians of the Galaxy, rumors are Marvel has offered the role of Rocket Raccoon to Bradley Cooper. Now, I say this because with Vin Diesel being I Am Groot, you do it better.
Yeah, I Am Groot.
I actually can see this. I can see Bradley Cooper in this CGI raccoon body. I just think that the movies that
I don't think he'd fit.
Not physically, just vocally. But I see him as could be that personified. So hopefully that stays true. Like I said, they don't need big names for those, but at least for a talking character, maybe it might be a little bit better than saying three words, so who knows.
I think, excuse me, I think if you're going to put a famous actor in, I think they should change their voice so it doesn't just sound exactly like them, so that it's not Sam Jackson wearing an eye patch.
Yeah. You know?
that same thing, but we've talked about that before.
Well, sticking on Guardians of the Galaxy news, I'm pretty sure most of the internet has seen the leaked, not even leaked, it was just the Comic-Con footage that someone recorded on their phone and uploaded. You know that's illegal, and you can go to jail for that, they say at the beginning of movies.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie police.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's headed up by Joan Rivers and Kelly Osbourne, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the fashion police. But same authority.
That you know that is scary.
Same authority.
It's like you watch the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, they're pretty much people, insiders are saying that there's zero chance that since that grainy stills have been going around, that they're actually going to be not releasing it.
Yeah.
Me make that sentence as well, but...
There was something else I think that I saw in that article where they were saying too that some of that footage or all that footage may not actually be in the movie.
And that's fine. Like from what the footage I saw was just pretty much them shooting people. So you kind of got a bit of them shooting and what they look like in their costumes. So I don't even think it gave anything away.
And it had all of them like lined up like the usual suspects.
That was cool, but that's actually a poster that they have going around the internet, too, so that was just that, so.
I've got more DC news. There was actually a lot of DC stuff this week. The Collider book that you reviewed here that week that I wasn't here, apparently DC lost a case. They were sued by a company called Be Active. And they had something, they published Collider as an online comic series, like, a year ago or something like that. And so DC came out with this book, Collider, and they're like, hey, We already have a book called that, and DC lost a lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
So, they are going to rename the series Federal Bureau of Physics.
Okay. That's, I mean, it's not a stupid name, because it's been talked about in the book, so...
Yeah.
Are they already... Are they going to do that for issue number two, then? Or do they already have, like, where they said, shit, sorry, guys, we're already at the presses?
This was just a brief article, and I don't know.
Do your research, son.
Well, it's all I could find on this one, you know? But I don't know. I would assume probably issue two, but maybe not. It may not happen till issue three. So... If it does happen, issue two, now here it leads into my next question. Will that increase the value of issue one?
For sure. Or they just do like most things and just redo number one as the next book and make this just...
yeah.
Reboot it already, issue number two.
Yeah, I don't know. But
well, thanks for not going along the main lines of talking about more Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is there more Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, they've pretty much named who the main villain of that movie's going to be.
Oh.
Ronan the Accuser.
Okay, yeah, I did hear this. I have no idea who that is.
He is one of the Kree. You at least know who the Skrulls and the Kree are, yeah. Right? He's a... The Kree have... Obviously, the Skrulls, you know, shapeshift and everything. The Kree are a little more geneticists and everything. And the Accusers... have kind of, like, big hammers, and they pretty much are like a Judge Dredd, almost.
Okay.
For the Kree.
So, like, a Fear Itself hammer?
No, it's more of a... That's just his kind of weapon, magical, or, you know.
Okay.
Whatever. But that's kind of cool, because he is a big part in at least the comic book series. Not the new version, but has been in a comic book series. So, to have another name, you know, big name in this is going to be great. They've also pretty much said this is actually going to be taking place Phase 2. And this is actually going to have a big impact on the Phase 2 Marvel Universe.
Yeah, it'll be the same time, same universe type thing. The other thing that I saw in there that was interesting, though, is that they did say that while Thanos isn't going to be the main villain, he still will be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's kind of cool. Any other Guardians of the Galaxy news? Tony?
Not that I know of. I can make up some rumors and...
Oh, okay. The couple new things on some other characters from DC is... And this is a spoiler alert about Cyborg Superman, so if you don't want to know something about a spoiler, skip like a minute ahead and...
He's a cyborg!
Oh, shit, Tony, you didn't wait. But they're right in here that it's... Cyborg Superman is not actually going to be Hank Henshaw, that it's actually going to be Supergirl's father, Zor-El. So that's kind of the big reveal about it, because we saw Cyborg Superman at the tail end of, I think it was Supergirl.
Yeah,
that,
I think so.
That Jim reviewed here a couple months ago. And, you know, we're like, wow, that's a crazy looking, you know, Superman with that wicked, you know, death arm that he's got, and pretty nasty looking character. But that's
gonna, I don't know, fuck up kind of Kara's world.
I actually am curious to read this.
Yeah.
Which, you know me, I don't pick up a ton of DC, so, you know.
But, well, I guess that could mean why it's got family resemblance, but really you gotta look at it and be like, why do you look like, you know, Clark Kent?
Well, it's only like from the nose up, because his bottom jaw is pretty much just metal.
Yeah.
But another new character news: Lobo in the New 52 that everybody thought was Lobo is not Lobo. He's an imposter, and the real Lobo is coming out, and has a drastic, very very drastic makeover.
So wait, they're saying that the Lobo that's around now, or who has been around for years, has never really been the real Lobo?
Well, it's only been around for like a year and a half, because it's the New 52.
Okay, so you're talking about the new design that they've had of Lobo, not...
Nothing happened ever before the New 52. Yeah, that
doesn't count.
Yeah. But yeah, he's an imposter. And so the new Lobo is coming out. And this one, I gotta say, as just a general character design, I think it's cool.
Oh, I was gonna say, if they've made this a new character, fucking badass. Looks a little Prince of Persia-ish slash vampire.
Almost like got some like Soulfire Aspen comic look to it. Very polished. And, you know, just this plethora of weapons and stuff like that. And what they were saying is that the reason for this design is that he should be able to infiltrate high society. He has face tattoos. You tell me somebody that has face tattoos that can infiltrate high society.
Yeah, well, and this isn't what Lobo was like.
No.
So it seems like they're trying to put a pretty face on an established character.
Who has a massive fan base.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be... I think people will be more pissed off about this DC fans than they will be about the Ben Affleck thing.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but... Yeah, it's... I saw this at comicbook.com, so go look that up there if you want to see what that look for the new character is. Like I said, beautiful character design in general, if they weren't calling him Lobo, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you have, Tony?
Well, okay. As we talk a lot about the movies, because that's what gets a lot more press and gets us to hear more... This is kind of interesting, at least for what, who is it? It's got a Fox Studios has the X-Men franchise.
Yep, and Fantastic Four.
Yes, that they are going to share a movie universe now. So you may see in, because I know that they're trying to reboot the Fantastic Four movies.
Which they should.
Yes, Jessica Alba. Well, no, not even reboot though. We fucking know how they got their powers. They went in outer space and became them. You don't need to keep rebooting shit. Just do like Batman did. There's been many of Batmans before that you don't always need to reestablish how he became Batman. I think that's well enough canon that almost anyone knows. Same with Fantastic Four. I'm thinking out of those two franchises, most people know how they got their powers. You don't need to reboot the whole thing. You can just pretend the other movie didn't happen. Do a brief, you know, quick flashback. But if you reboot...
A 5-minute...
Yeah. Little, fucking even the beginning announcer persons, you know, that talk. You know, you can have Morgan Freeman.
No.
Well, when the Fantastic Four went up into space.
That is nothing like Morgan Freeman.
Well, when Fantastic Four... Okay.
It's getting worse. No, dude, have Stan Lee come in and do it like he used to, like, you know, announce before Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yeah.
You know, Excelsior! Hello there, true believers, and I'm not trying to do an impersonation, because I can't, but, you know, just have him come in and go, years ago, when the Fantastic Four went through space, they got powers. Excelsior! And then they start the movie.
Yeah, just, it could be so as simple as that. So, regardless, oh, but we got off track. So, they could share... That would be cool to see cameos from both of them, and... It hurts me. Because I want to see Fantastic Four back under the Marvel umbrella to be in those cool movies. Not to say Fox ain't doing a real good job with Marvel or with the X-Men, but... to each their own, I guess.
Yeah. There were a couple other little things that I came across. This one was just kind of... This was interesting because... I wanted to mention this one more about the sticky situation that Brian Michael Bendis mentioned than really what the thing is. Because there are rumors as to whether or not the Ultimate line from Marvel Comics is ending.
Oh, we all know it is. Galactus is over there to eat it up.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to destroy it. Miles Morales coming over to the 616, and then it's all going to be done. But... What I said, like, what Bendis said, I thought was really cool. He goes, if we don't say anything, these people win. Because they get all these hits on their website and stuff like that. If we do say something and deny it, they get all these hits on their website and they win. He goes, they always win, we always lose, you know. But I don't even think he confirmed or denied.
Well, no, he flat out said, please allow me to not comment on unsubstantiated rumors and let us tell our story. Which I think, to be honest, is very true. Let's stop the speculation, even though we all know it is ending, and let them at least tell their story. If it ends, it ends. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We don't need to go into USA Today and tell them Professor X died before the books even hit the stands.
That only happens on Tuesdays.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, everyone pretty much is getting it. I hope to God that actually they have Galactus give a big middle finger and say, nope, I'm leaving you guys alone, to the reader, and then leaves the Ultimate Universe. Like, it would be cool if that world keeps going, but only time will tell.
Yeah. Last little story that I had is, and it's something that I didn't know about, that Chris Claremont apparently is under contract, like a salaried contract, I guess, to only write for Marvel.
That's interesting.
Chris Claremont hasn't written for Marvel anything for, you know, 2 years, I think. But in the meantime, he's just cashing checks.
That's pretty, well, I guess he got the best end of that.
Unless he really has a story he wants to tell. I don't know, you know, that would suck if he's got something. But the Bleeding Cool had an article on here talking about this, that in November there's going to be X-Men Gold number one coming out. And it's going to have Chris Claremont, Stan Lee, Louise Simonson, Fabian Nicenza all writing, with Walter Simonson, Bob McLeod, and a whole bunch of other people doing the art. So I'm super excited about it, just because you've got some legends working on this. But it's just kind of...
Is it going to be an ongoing, or is it just going to be a
one-shot? I'm guessing probably a one-shot, but it's going to be $6, but it's going to be 64 pages. So, I don't know.
I can read two words. It says one-shot.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
64 pages, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll be picking it up. You know, I'm hoping it's just something fun and awesome and cool. But... yeah, so that's everything I had on news and notes.
That's kind of everything that I had since... yeah.
Since yeah?
Since yeah. So, do you have an indie turnpike?
I do have an indie turnpike.
And we're not going to do the stupid noise because Matt's not here.
Thank God. speaking of one-shots, actually, this is a one-shot. Fearless Dawn in Outer Space. And this is from Asylum Press.
So this is like Dawn that you like?
No.
Oh, a different Dawn.
Different Dawn. Yeah, the Dawn that I have been collecting for a long time, that is just Dawn by Joseph Michael Linsner. This is Fearless Dawn. Not related. It's written and illustrated by Steve Mannion. And this is a black and white comic. So both the books that I actually reviewed for real this week are both black and white. And this is pretty much just looks like it's primarily pencil work. And I'm guessing that there might be some ink in here. I'm not an artist, so I can't tell. But
well, it looks like there's ink on those pages, so...
yeah, great. But it's primarily pencil, you know, type work, I think. I loved this book. And for a couple reasons. It's silly, it's happy, it's over the top with fun and kind of, you know, expressions from the characters, you know, jumping out at you. And
space Nazis.
And they're space Nazis. And it's just, you know, it's a fun story.
Are they zombie space Nazis? Because that will make it just the best book ever.
No, but they're like monster alien space Nazi kind of things. You know, but, you know, this is a fun story all around. I mean, like, There's one thing when, like, you know, she goes to sleep and then, you know, she's talking to her dream version going, oh, Fearless Dawn, sleeping version, how are you? And they refer to her at other times as Fearless Dawn, sleeping version. I just really liked it. And the thing I think that I liked most about it, beyond the fact that it was a fun story and that, you know, it was unique and original, and I really enjoyed the artwork. Beyond that, it brought me back to the 90s when I was trying out like every different kind of comic that I could get my hands on, going, I'm going to look at this now. I'm going to look at this now. I'm going to look at this now. And it was at a time when it didn't matter what I grabbed, I fell in love with it. This, there's a reason I fell in love with it, but it reminded me of that, like that, oh my God, this is new and fresh and, you know, it's just fun. And so I would highly recommend going out and checking it out. I don't know how many of the stores out there carry it, because I haven't heard of Asylum Press before, but, you know, well, you now are shopping at my shop, and so we can say our shop kicks ass, and they have
it does
massive selections. But yeah, and there's an Alfred Einstein looking guy in there, you know, which he was fun. There's baby dinosaurs, and then big massive dinosaurs in there. And there's a little pinup section at the back, so you know it's great, and it says
it's got fun for the whole family.
Yeah, and it says even though it's a one shot, it says to be continued in Fearless Dawn Jurassic Jungle Boogie Nights number one. But yeah, it's cool. You know, it's something that I would recommend if you don't want to stick with the normal everyday thing that you're used to. Go out and grab this book, Fearless Dawn in Outer Space, one shot. So there it is. Tony, we have a little conundrum here.
No, we don't.
No?
No.
No? What's your answer?
I can't think of a book that came out that I could just throw out, because, yeah.
Because we kind of forgot.
I didn't forget. I always remember the moment I start hitting record. So I may have forgotten before we started recording, but the moment I hit that little button, we continue recording. We do it live.
We do it live. And I do have one suggestion in particular.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to actually have to look up and see. So I apologize to the cover artist. But this week for Best on Tap, brought to you by Comic Book Displays, go to comicbookdisplays.com and check them out. Trinity of Sin Pandora number 3. And it's a Trinity War tie-in. And Tony, with the power of the internet, perhaps you might be able to figure out who did this cover. Just an all-around beautiful cover, and I can't quite read the name on it, but there's, you know, kind of like demon eyes coming around Pandora. You've got Batman in the bottom, you've got Green Arrow, and I'm not sure who the guy is that kind of looks like the Smoking Man in the bottom, but the colors are beautiful, the lines are great, and this would look fantastic hanging up in the frame that you could get from comicbookdisplays.com. So
yes, and that awesome cover by Ryan Suk can be yours for the low price of
$2.99.
Oh, nice. That's a good price.
Yeah. So there it is, Best on Tap. All right, so I did forget one thing.
What?
Indy Turnpike was driven here to you by Intercomics, interdashcomics.com.
God, you just made a car crash wreck with that one.
I just stepped on the gas and went with it.
Just stop like a red light.
All right, well, while I take a nice chug off my beer, Tony, do you have booze in a book for us?
Yes, I do. Readers, you know me and how much I don't really read Daredevil.
Ever?
Ever.
Except this week?
Yes, because Derek enticed me with the cover saying, but look, Silver Surfer's in it. Which, I love Silver Surfer. So it made, you know, sense to read it. And it was, like Derek said, kind of like a one-shot. So didn't really need to know much about what was going on in the storybook. It just happened to be. So, while reading this, I can only think of one pairing to go with the Silver Surfer, and that is the Silver Bullet. Coors Light.
Oh, yeah.
And also a good thing with drinking Coors Light along with this, you can close your eyes like you're Daredevil and pretend like it's a better beer.
And if you drink enough of them, you'll go blind. All right. Well, that does it for Booze in a Book, then. Brought to you by Tony's Liver. You got anything there for last call there, Tony?
Yeah. The one other book that I picked up, Superior Spider-Man, this week. Oh, man, I just can't get enough of it. It's such a good title. All those haters, you need to stop hating.
Yeah. You know, and it doesn't matter that Peter Parker's dead.
Yeah.
And
spoiler alert!
Oh, snap! Yeah, the only other two that I had this week that I really wanted to give a shout out, because it really was a light week for me this week, which was actually okay after last week. But He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, number 5, and, you know, got a little She-Ra action going on in there, and Indestructible Hulk, number 12.
You're still picking that up?
Yeah.
Actually, I do got one other shout-out. Probably the best book that me and Derek both read. We read the entire thing. The Comic Book Price Guide.
Oh, the Overstreet. Yeah. Apparently, it came out like a month ago, and I don't know how I missed that.
But it was great looking through it earlier. I was going to review that as my off-the-shelf, but it just wouldn't be fair.
Well, it's a little wordy. Yeah. You know, at about, 1,200-ish pages... It's good toilet reading. So.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'm pretty sure Infinity also is good. I haven't read them yet because my brother has them, but you should probably pick those up, too.
I should?
By psychic knowledge. Yeah, you should. You said you're going to pick up number 2 and maybe go along with the ride.
I said I would read number 2 as in yours.
Oh, that's right. You did say that.
But, yeah, no, I damn it, now you brought up the Overstreet, and now I'm flipping through it. Thinking about all these things. I do enjoy buying... I don't enjoy spending $30 on this thing.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can double the price when that thing becomes a paperweight.
Yeah. It's, did I give you my old one last year? Yeah. Well, you don't get this one this year. but yeah, it's... I enjoy this, though. But it's funny the way that they
We spent 2 hours just looking up old comic books and first appearances and...
Well, and comparing differences in price from this year to last. But it is funny how, like, some of the newer books, like the NYX number 3, first appearance of X-23, they still have listed at $10. You, at a 9.2, you tell me where you can find a fucking NYX number 3 for $10. You can't. I don't know. Like, the newer stuff they don't always get, but then they do have Saga number 1 at 50. They had Peter Panzerfaust number 1, I think, at 80. So they
get... You picked that one up, didn't you?
Shut up. God, I'm still pissed I missed that one. I missed it when it came out, and I went back a few days later going, oh, I wanted to grab this, and sold out.
You know, it's going to also suck when you can't find Collider number 1.
Yeah, well...
The only Collider number 1.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll get over it.
But you just gave away our secret, you know, Bible of our knowledge there.
It's not a secret.
It's a secret to everyone.
You know, the funny thing is I wonder how long till that book goes away.
Tell you the truth, with the internet, you can easily look up stuff. It was fun flipping through that. Because, honestly, I could have just gone on the internet and looked up any of these questions I had. But it was great just sitting here, having a beer, watching some TV, and saying, oh, when did this happen? Or can you look up this one? Or what's the price on that one? I don't know. I don't see it going away.
Well, I think that will continue to be in print as long as comics are still in print.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be really what it'll boil down to. Because there are a ton of things out there.
And there's a ton of things that listeners should pick up as well.
Like?
Everything that we talk about.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and actually, definitely go pick up the book from Xenoscope this week, No Tomorrow. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah, it does it for me. I got to go into my next shift in probably 20 minutes and be there for the next 38 hours, so...
Yay!
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
Keep reading those comics.
And we'll be back to talk about them later.
See you guys.
I am Captain Moose Knuckle.
And I'm his sidekick, Arabian Camel Toe.
Someone please remind me, I said, someone please remind me how to just let go.